What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by Asherai Blakely, the Celtics insider for NBC Sports Boston.com. What's up, big fella?
What's up, Kyle R. Draper?
Dude, why you gotta say my name like that, man? You make me feel like I'm about to get sent to the principal's office or something.
I didn't say your full name, so you know you're not in trouble.
What are you saying my government name for, man? Just call me Drapes like everybody else do.
Drapes.
I like that. I like that. All right, we're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee, just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. All right, Shry, we got a big show coming up. Terry Rozier stopping by to
Scary
chat with
Terry,
us.
Way to bring it, young fella. I'm
Yo,
excited
tons
about
of good
him
stuff,
in the building.
Man. Tons of good stuff with him. We talk about the Ville, our Louisville connection, me and T. Rose. So that's the highlight of the show right there.
I'm just surprised the room that we're in isn't decorated with like red and black, you know, Louisville colors. You don't have your pom-poms out.
Man.
You don't got the red and black Nike joints.
I know. The socks. Man. I should have brought up, you know, Rick Pitino. Poor, hungry, and driven. His pH. No, not Rick Pitino now. I'm talking Rick Pitino when I was there. He used to say, poor, hungry, and driven. That's how me and T. Rose approach our careers, big fella. So, no, a lot to get to.
What are those two you're right about?
A lot to get to. But let's talk about the state of the Celtics, dude. Had a hiccup there against Miami and then also against Detroit. But still, 19-4, best record in the NBA. Still in good shape.
They are, and that's the reason why, you know, after they, you know, lost by double digits to Detroit, and oh my God, the defense is crumbling and they're horrible. It was their fourth loss of the season. They're a good team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And the thing that continues to impress me is the ability to find ways to win with a different core of guys on a night-in, night-out basis. You know, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, they're going to be in that core night-in, night-out. Yeah. But sometimes you're going to add Marcus Morris to the mix. Sometimes you've got Marcus Smart in the mix. Our guy, T. Rose, he's had some big nights for these guys. Daniel Tice, you go down the line, and they've been finding guys who have made the most of their moment in big games, and they're getting it done, plain and simple.
Yeah, getting it done. And you know, I feel like over the last 2 weeks or so, Kyrie has really found his stride, his niche. You know, his scoring numbers are up over the last few weeks. He's scoring with ease. I mean, we knew he could do that. I just, you know, find it interesting. To start the season, he sort of eased his way in, you know, didn't come in, didn't try to take all the shots, played the team game, and he's still doing that. But I feel like now he's found his spots in this offense. And we saw in that Philly game early on, he wanted to put his stamp on that game.
Yeah, I talked to a scout about him the other day, and he was telling me that when he watches Kyrie now, the biggest difference that he sees in him from when he was in Cleveland to now where he's in Boston is his ability to imprint the game without feeling as though he's forcing himself to imprint the game. Because in Cleveland, LeBron is going to do what LeBron does, and then Kyrie has those stretches where he kind of, you know, asserted himself, and it looked like he was forcing the action. In Boston, he's putting up the same kind of numbers, and yet it seems to come in a general flow of the game. And when you combine that with what he's bringing to the table from a defensive standpoint, which is something that this scout said, I thought in my wildest dreams I would never talk about Kyrie and defense and talk about them as a positive.
Right.
He's getting it done, and there's a reason why he is a legitimate top five league MVP candidate.
You're saying that, bro? No, I'm with you.
He's the best player on the team with the best record, and statistically speaking, his numbers are among the better. They stack up favorably among the elite teams. And last but certainly not least, he's getting it done at both ends of the floor. And that's something that you can't say about when you talk about, I don't know, James Harden. A great score, but defense has not exactly been his forte.
But the thing about Kyrie's defense, and I don't know if he's fundamentally sound or not. I don't know.
He gambles more than I like. Still.
But Shirai, he's competing on that end.
Yeah.
You know, you look at some of the other stars in the league. You mentioned James Harden. It's like James Harden doesn't have any interest in playing defense. At least Kyrie is putting forth the effort to try and make things difficult for the opponent.
Yeah, and with Kyrie, he's getting it done not only in terms of the eye test, but even from a statistical standpoint. When you look at the contested shots night in, night out, he's in the top two or three. Al Horford is typically one or two. And Kyrie is usually like around three, maybe four some nights. And that is what you want from your lead guard, the ability to compete at both ends of the floor. And when fourth quarter rolls around, get it done. It's your time.
Yeah, we're going to ask Terry Rozier about Kyrie coming up in just a minute. But, you know, when you look at the Celtics schedule, we talked early, you know, 7 out of their first 11 on the road. Mm-hmm. They got through that, no problem. Now 5 straight at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Phoenix Saturday. You know, and you got some winnable games on this schedule. And so what's their ceiling? I mean, if you extrapolate that, and I know that's a big word, and you got to pull out, you know, your thesaurus and Webster's dictionary and everything. But when you extrapolate this for the rest of the season, is this really a 65-win team?
Well, I'll just borrow the one that you just looked that word up from to see exactly what you're talking about. But that's another story. Here's the thing about this. Here's the thing about this Celtics team. They don't have a ceiling. Because when you think about a ceiling, you think about, okay, they can't get any better than this. Al Horford has room to grow.
Yeah.
Kyrie, as good as he's been, you can see areas in his game that can get better. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You go down the line, and there are clear and undeniable elements of each of their games that they can improve upon. And yet, here they are with the best record in the East, or excuse me, in the NBA. So there is no ceiling. This is outdoor, baby. This is like back in the summer. Outdoor.
Right. You just look up and you just keep looking and looking and looking. All right. Speaking of a no ceiling, Terry Rozier really just scratching the surface, of his NBA career. This dude, he's been nice this season. Sure, he had that little stretch, you know, where, you know, he couldn't make shots. But his impact on the game, I think every time he comes in, he impacts the game.
Yeah, I go back to what he talked about when he first got to Boston, and people were just kind of hating on Danny and hating on him because they took him with the 16th pick.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that was high. And I just remember him talking about how, you know, people don't know me now. People may not like me now. But at the end of the day, you're going to love me. And you watch him play. You watch his grind. Yeah, we love T. Rose. Yes, we do.
All right, let's get Terry to join the Celtics Talk podcast right now. Terry Rozier, thanks for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast, my friend. Thanks for joining me and Sherrod. I'm going to just dive right into it. Let's get into this season. Are you surprised at how well y'all playing right now?
I know for myself, I didn't know what to expect, but I know we're playing very well, and it's just great to see our growth, and we just want to keep it going. Still, we're like 22 games in, so it's still a long season, but we just want to keep it up how we've been playing.
Now, he wants to dive into it, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is like Christmas for him. Okay. He has been wanting a Louisville player in the building forever and a day. So I'm surprised you didn't bring out the red and black pom-poms.
See, Terry,
you excited.
See, but I don't know if Terry knew the backstory. So
no, I don't.
I used to work in Louisville. Before I came here, I was in Louisville. So when Walt was on the Patino staff, I was there. Me and Walt was hanging out, chopping it up. So I love to see Louisville guys do big things. And then you came here, so I was like, that's my guy, T. Rose.
I totally expected to see the pom-poms out when I was here.
Come on, man. I'm keeping professional. except on TV.
There you go. I appreciate the love.
My question to you, T, though, you touched on just the expectations of this season, but your role – is very different now than it was when you first got here. Talk about just kind of growing into that role, because people just assume that if there are more minutes to play, you're going to things are automatically going to click. But there's some things that kind of go into that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Brad has said it best. This is my first year going into knowing that I actually have, you know, a big role on this team. And, you know, obviously I'm playing behind Kyrie. First 2 years I played behind Isaiah. But I just know, like, I just got to bring that energy, high energy off the bench. I know some nights it's going to be going from – they're going to need me to score. Some nights it's going to, you know, need me to contribute passing the ball. You know, but I just know I have the minutes set out for me. So it's what I do with the minutes is on me. So I just have to, you know, be a professional and take it game by game.
You know, when you look at other coaches around the league, other teams, they have, like, a set rotation. With Brad, do you know, you know – 6 minutes in, I'm getting in. Like, do you know, have a sense of when you're about to go in the game?
It's kind of always late first.
Right.
Late first. So I know by the, I think, t- timeouts at the 6 minute mark, and then you know I started loosening up. You know, okay. I started, okay. And then 3 minute mark, I really started loosening up because I know it's about that time.
Right, right. You like that kid playing double dutch, ready to jump in there. You just like
you know you're about to jump in. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, exactly.
When you look at just not just your team success, but just the Eastern Conference in general, because we've kind of talked about this before. Eastern Conference is cracking some heads out west. I mean, you guys beat Golden State. You know, Philly's had some quality wins. You go down the line, Eastern Conference has had quality wins. Are you getting a sense that maybe the East is starting to kind of turn the tide a little bit and is able to not just compete but actually beat teams out west?
Yeah, I think I feel like we overlooked a lot in the East. I mean, with, like, the East teams. And I feel like we're just spicing it up in the league. Everybody's going to get – the team's in the East best shot, for sure, especially if we're playing a team out West. Cause it's like a statement. You're trying to make a statement. So it's been a great year for the East. It's been a great year for the league. It's been very fun to watch and very fun to play in.
You know, on Celtics Post Up that you were on with me, Abby, and Scott, we talked about the bench.
Nice plug.
I got to plug other. See, it's called when I talk
dying.
About being professional, that's what I'm talking about, young fella.
Taking your own shots. I got you.
Exactly.
I got you. Call your number.
You know I ain't promoting anybody else's show. You know that. Only the shows I'm on. But we talked about the bench, Terry. How much pride do you and Marcus take into being game changers when you step out on that court?
We take huge pride. We know it's important. Like I mentioned earlier on the show, that the bench is just important as the starters. We got to come in with the same, if not more, energy that the starters got. And we know how important it is. One thing you know who's going to start the game, but you never know who's going to finish the game, who's going to be out there. So you want to get out there and you want to play your butt off for sure.
When you guys are doing what you do night in, night out, there was a recent conversation between owner Whit Grosbeck and our good friend Felgren Mas, where they were talking about the role of coaches and the impact that coaches have on the games being played. What does Brad bring to the table from a player's perspective that without you guys wouldn't be as good, just from your perspective?
You saying, like, what you mean?
Like, what does Brad bring?
What does he bring to the
– that helps you guys. The fact that you guys have such a great record, what does he do that kind of helps that process along?
He's a genius, man. I think we all know that. One of my favorite shows is Prison Break. And he reminded me of Michael Scofield so much.
That's a nice one.
And just
okay.
It's just the people around him, like, he gets people through things. He has a plan, and if one plan doesn't go through, he has the backup. Yep. Or, you know, it's all these. And it's just like he reminded me of Brad so much.
That's
he's just
a
so
good
smart.
One.
But yeah,
he figures out a way. You know, we only see Brad, you know, when he deals with the media. Does he have a personality? That came out wrong.
Time out. Get Drapes a 20-second time
out. That came out wrong, Coach.
Sorry, no.
Rewind. That came out wrong. But, like, does he crack jokes? Does he smile? Like, what's a fun night for Brad Stevens, do you think?
I think when we all rebounding and playing defense, I think that's fun.
No, see, I'm talking off the court, Terry. I'm like, is it
– I mean,
he must love you, Terry. He's rebounding.
You don't really get too many jokes,
right.
Jokes out of him, but he definitely have a good personality. I mean, he talks stuff about the Cleveland Browns because he know I'm from Ohio.
Really? Oh, he
talks,
can see.
He talks a little stuff. So I mean, he's just great to be around, man. When he comes in the room, you know he enlightens the whole room.
So you ain't a Patriots fan now, or are you a Patriots fan?
I mean, I went to a Patriots game this year when they played the Falcons. I had a lot of fun. I support the Patriots, but I'm Browns fan till I die, man. Keep it real,
because like you know our your guy Gordon Hayward, he not even trying to be no he's straight up.
He said I'm still a Colts fan.
He's still a Colts fan.
Yeah,
and I respect that. You don't gotta bob and weave.
Yeah, right.
Keep stick to your
no, but like I said, I show love to the Patriots, man.
There you go.
I respect them, man. What they do, I love Tom Brady, love the coach, but you know.
Yeah, your team's
got my Browns. Even though we ain't win a game, I got
to
go home.
Because at some point, you got to go home.
Yeah,
you got to go back home.
And you got to think at some point the Browns are going to come around again, right? You got to think they're going to get one eventually.
I mean, we've been saying that.
We've been saying that every year.
That's what I know. But, you know, next year.
Look,
but,
man, I'm still waiting for that broken clock to be right.
I know, right?
Because I hear it's right at least twice a day, but I'm still waiting for
that. No, it's a couple decades with Cleveland, though, the Browns. No, seriously.
You sound like Brad. Watch.
Got it.
What has this year been like for you? I mean, you have expectations you're going to play a little bit more, and you are doing that. And you lose Gordon 5 minutes to the season, and then it's like you lose another game, and then rolling. Rolling. I mean, y'all just start rolling past teams. What is that? What was that journey like when you went from 0-2 to 16-2 like that?
I think it's just we all, you know, we had a whole new team, so yeah. I think, you know, people overreacting when we lost our first two games, but we made sure we stuck together, and we stuck together through it, and we know that we still got a long season to play, and then everything started clicking. We still was going through when we played Philly that third game of the season. Yeah. We was down late.
Yeah, they
the
had
third.
Y'all on your backs.
Yeah, on the ropes.
And it was crazy in there, but you know, we stayed together, and we talked things out. You know, you might have guys getting on one another, but it's always a respect thing. Everybody hears the other guy out, and it always work out for us. You got a lot of guys that's close in age, so you know. We have so much fun off the court. When we get on the court, we talk about a lot of things like basketball things we can all relate, and we respect one another. So I think that takes a long way for us. And, you know, we just keep building, and we just want to keep going.
Is that a little bit different this year? I mean, I think since Brad's been here, there's always been a certain amount of accountability among the players. But to see y'all actually go at each other in huddles, and then once the whistle blows, y'all just balling. Yeah. It's not like it's something that is a negative per se. Is that unique to this team, the fact that you can have those kind of frank conversations and no feelings are really hurt?
I think that's very unique. You ain't got to worry about nobody holding no grudge. You ain't got to worry about nobody's pissed off at one another. Like I said, we say what we got to say, and one guy respects the another. I want to compliment Kyrie because he's been through so much. Like he's been in the finals. He won the finals.
He was on a lot of teams too.
He's only 25 years old, but he still listens.
Yeah,
like if somebody, you know, and he still listens, and that can take a team so far.
Yeah,
right.
So far,
I think a lot of people want to get to know Kyrie, what kind of guy he is. I mean, before he came here, you know, we knew he could hoop. There was the whole flat Earth thing too. So tell me about Kyrie, the dude that you see that we don't see.
He annoying.
I'm just joking.
He's great, man. He's great. Like we all said it. We didn't know how goofy he was. We didn't know how goofy he was. But he's great to be around. Like I say, he's 25 years old. Like he want to play video games, and he want to come in work on his game, and after that he want to go play video games and just chill. But he's great. He's great to be around. He definitely makes the locker room better. He one of them guys that.
You bring that up, Terry, because the whole story was Kyrie wanted to be the man. He wanted his own team. But when you see him come here, it seems like he wanted to fit in with you guys. Talk to me about that and just how important that was that he came in. And he just seems like one of the guys to me with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's like I say, he came in. And he wasn't trying to step on nobody's toes. He wasn't coming in demanding anything. And he's still that way. Like, say, man, he's just a guy living in his own world, but at the same time he's having a lot of fun, and he's normal. He's just like us, and who doesn't want their own team? Like,
right,
even
right.
If, I mean, people it's easy for people to say that.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want it that way? But he's great, man. He's just great to be around.
Has he been a pleasant surprise in that regard? Because I mean, I'm just trying to process this all. I'm 25 years old. I've been a four-time All-Star. I got an Olympic gold medal.
Man,
I made the biggest shot in Cleveland history.
History.
That chip that they got, I made that happen with my shot.
And
I'm coming to another team, and I'm going to be like, I'm trying to fit in with y'all.
That's what I'm saying. All that stuff he'd been through, you can go a whole day with him, and you would never know. Like, you would never know. He did that. There's no need for him to talk about it. He don't put himself above no one. You know what I'm saying? That's just the type of guy he is, and I think we all respect him and appreciate that so much that it helped us grow. We all grow from that.
Kyrie, a big addition, but we did lose Isaiah here. You still talk to Isaiah at all? And what has he meant to you, you know, that relationship the last few years?
Isaiah, my guy, man. Yeah. Isaiah, my guy. I appreciate him still to this day. You know, I learned so much from him in them 2 years, and he got that killer attitude. I just love most about him, man. And just you know, I'm tuned into the. I got to watch the whole. The thing he just
Book
came
of Isaiah?
Out.
Oh, yeah,
Book of Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah.
I got it early, so you know.
Oh, you got the advanced copy,
right?
Yeah,
you got it. Way to look out for your boy, IT. I see you.
Yeah, but, man, great guy, man. Great guy. And I'm just, you know, I'm excited that, you know, that process is getting closer for him to step back on the court. I can't wait to play against him.
And I was going to ask you about that because it's going to be a minute before y'all see Cleveland again, and hopefully he'll be back playing by then. But what is that going to be like? Because, you've already seen – other teammates with other teams. I mean, Kelly Olynyk, Miami, but it's a little different with IT.
Oh, no, it's definitely going to be different. It's going to be a lot of emotions in the air.
A lot of smack talking. Come on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm going to give him hell when I'm in there. Yeah, I'm going to give him hell. but that's my guy, man. That's my guy.
All right, Terry Rozier, thanks for coming on, man. This is good stuff.
Good stuff.
You're welcome to come back anytime, big fella.
And you'll bring your Louisville pom-poms next
exactly.
time?
Exactly. What is it? Louisville first card forever? L1C4?
Look at you. Oh, come on, man. Next thing you know, you're going to be rocking a fight song in a minute.
Right?
Oh, man.
See? All right, Terry Rozier, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Man, great stuff from Terry Rozier. We may have to make him a regular guest. Jason, can we make that happen, big fella? No, you got to put your mic down.
Yes.
All right. There you go. He's over here nodding at
me. He's
like,
tired.
I put him on the spot right
yes.
there. No,
let's
but
you don't want to talk to other times.
I know. Like 98% of the time, I don't want to hear from Jason. Yeah. This time, I'm like, Jason, come on, join us. Join us, big fella.
Just tell me to shut up when you want to be quiet.
No, but good stuff from Terry. The Celtics doing their thing, Sherrod. But here come those Cleveland Cavaliers, bro. 10 straight wins. You afraid?
No. No. I'm not afraid. Cleveland is playing well. Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all,
I don't got to guard LeBron.
I'm cool.
I was cool. about to say.
No,
all
but
right,
Cleveland,
right.
They're playing good basketball. They're starting to get back to doing the things that they have to do to be successful, and I get that. But the thing that concerns me, and we've talked about this before, I'm concerned about the amount of minutes that LeBron James has to log in order for that team to win. When you look at the body of work that he has amassed over his career, and it is phenomenal. He will, whenever his body says we're done, he's going to be one of the greatest players to have ever played in this league. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I worry about him at this stage of his career of still having the ability to impact winning, but, man, the wear and tear that his body has to go through. I mean, you know, he had that great game a couple weeks ago against Washington, and they barely won. They won by like 6-7 points. And he was phenomenal. And to me, you shouldn't be phenomenal. You shouldn't have to be phenomenal night in and night out basis in order for your team to win. Because Kyrie Irving, as great as he's been playing, I don't think he's had a lot of nights where you just said, wow.
Yeah,
He was amazing. He's had very good games, but he hasn't had a lot of those type of games. And frankly, that to me, it speaks more about your team than the individual. Celtics have a better team than Cleveland. Not necessarily better players. I think this.
Ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho, ho, ho, whoa, 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 what? What?
You know.
It's Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho. No, but you're right in terms of the minutes, but I think that's because of Brad Stevens. If Kyrie played with Ty Lue, he'd be playing 36 minutes a game. I think it's just the philosophy of the coach. Brad could extend Kyrie to 36.
Why should he?
Exactly. He doesn't have to.
Well, I don't think Ty has the luxury.
I think eventually he will. First of all, Isaiah is going to come back. And you know the Cavs are going to rest LeBron the second half of the season.
Right, but we're talking about them without
has forced them to play LeBron more, no doubt, because they were reeling. And so you can't play LeBron 30 minutes and lose games because you already lost games early. So they're trying to catch up right now. But I'm going to keep it real with you, Sherrod. I don't care what happens in December. I don't care what happens in November. To me, it's what happens in April and May. We've seen teams, the Cavs, LeBron James teams, coast through the regular season and then turn it on in the
postseason. You talking about since he's been in Cleveland?
Yeah, last year they coasted through the regular season. Yep. And what happened? They made it to the NBA Finals.
He had this dude named Kyrie Irving that dropped 25-6.
But they got Isaiah. Exactly. That's why I'm saying these games aren't huge for Cleveland. They're winning games, but when Isaiah comes back, I think that'll be the true test of what Cleveland is. Not right now. They're winning 10 games in a row now. That's fantastic. But you got to think, if a healthy Isaiah Thomas comes back, they'll be even better, right?
They should be better. But
their
defense.
You got to see what he looks like. You got to see what Isaiah
You got to see what he looks like.
And the other thing, too, like,
uh-oh.
Kyrie and LeBron obviously did not – I mean – they play well together, yes, but there's a reason why Kyrie wanted to leave. Is Isaiah going to – Isaiah of the Celtics is not going to be Isaiah of playing next to LeBron.
The thing that we keep forgetting about is that Isaiah Thomas has been at his best with the ball in hand. He's a great, dynamic scorer. Now, LeBron James is great at getting guys the ball. I give LeBron that.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are unbelievable.
What?
Kyrie just averaged 25.5 points a game last season.
Right.
Playing off the ball. You don't think Isaiah, there's enough shots to go around. LeBron doesn't want to average 28 points a game. LeBron would rather average 10 assists a game.
One of the things that you're forgetting about that Kyrie's here, that he's shown the ability to be a great spot-up shooter. When Al Horford is
– and Isaiah's not?
I'm saying
is Isaiah –
he's a better off the dribble creating his own shot.
But can Isaiah be a spot-up shooter?
In theory, yeah, but then so could Aaron Baines. What's your point?
Oh, he compared Isaiah to Aaron Baines.
No, I'm comparing the analogy that you gave. Is he able
to?
That's the
Dude,
point.
Look at Isaiah's three-point shooting last season.
Listen,
I'm correct, his three-point shooting was better than Kyrie's last season.
Okay, but a lot of his threes he created himself. That's my point. In Boston, Isaiah had the green light to create his own shot whenever he wanted to. He's not going to have that luxury in Cleveland. And it's not because Ty Lue is going to say, you can't do that. It's going to be because LeBron James is saying, I'm going to do me.
You got to see how he looks, and you have to see how it looks in that situation. It's a totally situation.
I think Isaiah has the ability to adapt. I just don't know how quickly it's going to happen and whether – the physical issues that he has been obviously on men from, whether that's going to limit him in some
physical
capacity.
Issues, that's a legitimate concern. But if I'm Ty Lue and I'm coaching this team,
he's not.
I look and see what Brad Stevens did, and I'm taking a couple of those plays the Celtics did. I'm running some of those plays for Isaiah Thomas when he comes back healthy.
Okay.
LeBron's the coach, Stripes.
See, here's the thing, man. Jason, we didn't cut your mic earlier. You know, just hey, because
you,
this,
you
this narrative,
the floodgates.
You know, if I'm Ty Lue or if I'm LeBron, let's say LeBron is the coach. So he's actually proven to be a pretty damn good coach, 7 straight NBA finals. And so I just think, you know, when Isaiah comes back, those two will figure it out. He was able to play with D-Wade, who needed the ball in his hands, right? Yes or no?
Again.
Yes or no? Answer the question.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
But here's
so
the
why are we concerned about LeBron and Isaiah?
I'll tell you why. Because D-Wade wasn't coming off an injury. Because D-Wade had already proven himself a champion. So for him, he knew exactly what it takes to win a championship, which means sacrificing some of what you do well. So you can't compare Isaiah and D-Wade's situation. And, oh, there was what's the other? Chris Bosh.
My guy.
Your guy.
The Hall
so
of
come on. You can't possibly compare them to.
All right,
we got
to wrap this up, right?
My goodness.
Have we hit the time on this? I know. All right. Jason's giving
yes,
me the
people,
rap signal.
Yes, people. He is doing what we call tapping out.
Tapping out. Ding, ding, ding,
ding.
Ding.
Stop the fight.
Down goes
Drapes is done for the night.
Smell like salt.
All right, man. Let's
me
get out
of here. Me and Mayweather
here,
are leaving the building with the belts.
Oh, man. This was a good Celtics Talk podcast. We got to get T-Rose back on.
He started this. He made the he spiced it
he
up.
He amped
man.
It up,
I
right?
Like that.
He amped up the energy level.
Co-host.
All right, man. Hey, we'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast. The Celtics still rocking and rolling for A'Sherrod Blakely. I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time.
We out. T-Row, come back.